Welcome to the Healing Happens podcast with your host, Avital Miller, designed to bring you insight and inspiration from health and healing experts to overcome seemingly insurmountable challenges. From former program manager at Microsoft to author, international keynote speaker, global dancer, and healing breakthrough facilitator, my goal is to inspire boundless energy, absolute happiness, and true success so you can live the best life possible. Enhance the power to heal yourself through natural healing techniques and through gaining awareness in order to comfortably, energetically, and joyfully live your passions. Hello, in this episode, I am going to share a story from my trip to Indonesia in the fall of 2017 to help share two important points: how to listen to our body and how to shift the state of our body so that we can achieve our peak performance. I'm just sharing a piece of this story, but you can read the whole story in my blog at avitalmiller.com. In fall of 2017, when I was in Bali, this was the time that Mount Agung, the big volcano in Bali, was threatening to erupt. At the same time, I met a traveler who recommended I hike up the volcano named Mount Rinjani, which is on the island called Lombok, which is the next island over from Bali in Indonesia. And Mount Rinjani is 12,224 feet tall. I was very indecisive as to whether or not to hike up this mountain because I used to take people up Mount Whitney, which is the tallest mountain in continental US. So I knew how much training it takes to hike up such a large mountain. And I didn't know if I wanted to dedicate that time on my vacation in Bali. However, I decided I would at least do some training and some jogging there at sea level on the islands. I was on a little teeny island just north of Lombok called Gili Air. The island was so small that at my slow jogging pace on the sand, I could jog around the entire island in 1 hour. I also had to do it really, really early in the morning because as soon as the sun was high, it was too hot to be out there jogging and exercising. I got to the opposite side of the island from where I was staying, where you could see Lombok. That was just as the sun was rising. You could see the ridgeline of the mountains in this most perfect silhouette against the beautiful blue sky with a little trickling of the sunlight behind. I could see the highest peak. And I knew that when they take people up Mount Rinjani, which was that highest peak, that they actually started the hike really early in the morning to make it to the peak at sunrise. There I was at sunrise from this tiny island, Gili Air, looking up to the peak of that mountain, being absolutely fascinated by it. And I knew in that moment that I wanted to be at the top of that mountain in the next few days, looking back down at that little island. I started searching online so that I could find the right tour company to guide my trip up the mountain. I figured out which were the best tour companies, but I had a lot of trouble trying to communicate with them through email and the phone. So I found a travel booth that had this beautiful big map of the mountain. I figured they're pretty legit. I also asked them the name of their company, and they said the same name as one of the companies that was highly rated online, which made me feel very secure. I also secured with them that they would get me the right equipment that I would need for hiking and the cold weather, because Bali is very hot. I didn't prepare for cold weather. That they would be able to cater to my food allergies. And that the hotel room the night before the trek was going to be a decent room and I would have my own private room. There I am, heading over to that hotel in a van with a few other hikers for this trip. One of them notices this laminated card in the pocket behind the front seat. He pulls it out, reads the name of the company, and he says, uh-oh, I hope this isn't the name of our tour company, because I read about them online. People complained they ran out of food, they ran out of water, they didn't have enough equipment, and people had to sleep outside. Lo and behold, I asked the driver if that was the name of the company, and it was. So we were all getting a little bit nervous. We arrived at our hotel. The outside looked okay. And then they told me that I would be sharing a room with one of the gentlemen who I just met. I walked up to the room and noticed that the door didn't properly close. There were ants crawling all over the floor. The walls were painted this bright green color without any paintings on there. There was one barren bed in the room with just this blanket with Winnie the Pooh on it. I peeked in the bathroom, which was pretty disgusting, and there was no running water. Very quickly, three of us got out of there and decided that we would just invest in staying in another hotel, and we found a beautiful hotel to stay in. Then we went out to the shops because we wanted to buy food in case the apocalypse was coming and we didn't have enough food for this hike. We were walking around seeing if we could find any equipment to use because we didn't suspect that our company was going to be giving us any equipment. I found a purple hat that I could buy. Later, one of the people from our tour company met up with us on his little motorcycle. At the time, we were supposed to get all of our gear. He wasn't going to take us anywhere where there was some center with tons of nice gear, which we had seen at the other tour company locations as we walked through the little town. He did find a pair of ski gloves that I could use and a headlamp. No other clothes, which meant I had to wear my designer sweater with all these ruffles that hang out and my favorite yoga pants on this hike in the cold weather. Early the next morning, they brought over a truck to take us over to the trailhead. They said, all right, everyone hop in. All 12 of us had to hop in the back of this tiny truck bed with all of our packs. There we all are squished in, bumping and bouncing, banging our bottoms and banging our backs as we're driving an hour, hour and a half over to the trailhead. It was a great bonding experience for all of us, but not a great way to make our bodies feel good and ready to start hiking a long day. We were waiting around at the trailhead for a while. We weren't really sure who our guide was, but eventually a Balinese guy pointed towards the trail and we started walking. Balinese guys, they weren't walking directly with us, so whenever we would hit a split in the trail, we wondered which way to go, but eventually a Balinese guy would come by and point in the direction that we needed to go. Or I should say, not Balinese guy, but an Indonesian guy, the guy from Lombok. So I called it following the finger. Now, in US, and especially at Mount Whitney, the trails are made with these beautiful switchbacks that just ease the elevation increase, and you just go back and forth, and they're very easy to walk on. Here on Mount Rinjani, there were no switchbacks. It was straight up the mountain. No matter what you had to go across, bit of rock climbing, slippery dirt and sand, whatever it might be, we had to just keep going up. High elevation, heat, all of those things are impacting us. We were heading into 3 full days of hiking. I would say about halfway to 3/4 of the way through the first day, without really having enough training for such a big hike, my legs were burning. They were burning so much that I felt like any next step I took, I might just collapse and fall over. One of the things that I have been doing, inspired by some of the interviews that I did for my book, Healing Happens, was learning to ask my body what it wanted to do. And I'll actually share a technique with you at the end of this podcast episode on how to communicate with your body. So I asked my body, I recognize that I'm not really properly trained for this and I'm in pain right now. Do you want to continue? My body, like an excited child, said, "Yippee, yes, let's go for it." It didn't care that my body was painful. It didn't care that I didn't actually have the abilities and the training to do it. It just focused on the fun of the aspect. And it was interesting that it was a very childlike voice. I say that because when you start talking to your body, if you notice that, you don't need to be concerned. Our bodies are just a little bit different than the souls of ourselves that we're actually used to talking to. We made it up to this wonderful ridge line with this beautiful view, and we could see all of these tents set up there. Our group was waiting around because we had no clue who our guide was and which set of tents were ours. Eventually, a guy from Lombok, he came up and he pointed to a couple red tents. So we assumed that he knew who we were. We went over to those tents. We were one of the last groups to set up. They were just starting to make dinner for us at the time that everyone else was going to bed. Now, the next morning, we knew we were waking up at 2 a.m. to start the trek to the very top of Mount Rinjani. I knew that if I ate a late dinner, and by the way, they didn't have food that I wasn't allergic to, so most of my food was rice and eggs, which I didn't really want to eat for dinner. Eating a late dinner and then trying to get enough sleep, that wasn't going to happen. So I skipped dinner, going to bed on an empty stomach. We were woken up at 2 in the morning with this hand sticking in our tent, holding a biscuit, and this cheerful voice saying, "Coffee, tea, cookie." I got out of my tent. I put on my favorite yoga pants, and I had these 3/4 length baggy pants that I could wear on top of the yoga pants to help protect them and give me a little bit more warmth. I put on a few layers that I had and my designer blue sweater that just sort of hangs down and doesn't actually zip or close like you would want something to keep you warm. This is this bluish gray color. And then I put on my magenta windbreaker on top of that, my purple hat, my headlamp on top of that, and my ski gloves. Luckily, or you could say unluckily, but one of the women decided that the trek was too hard for her and she didn't want to go to the peak of Mount Rinjani. And she gave me her hiking pole, which is really good because I had heard that that part of the trek was really, really hard to walk on. What people described it as was 2 steps forward and 1 step back. And I was soon to find out why. There were just so many of these little rocks and pieces of dirt that the entire trail was slippery. Not only that, it was this very narrow ledge, a ledge that just dropped for way, way down, you know, maybe a mile in each direction. It was a bit risky trail to go 2 steps forward, 1 step back and not feel like you have control. Having a hiking pole definitely gave me a great sense of relief. We had a couple people in the group who were these amazing trekkers, and they just shot way ahead of the group. I decided because this whole hike was a bit risky that I was just going to go slower with the slower people behind me. As our elevation increased, the other people were getting more and more impacted by the elevation, which I wasn't feeling, which also meant they were getting slower and slower. And there I am looking towards the peak of the mountain. I'm looking up at the sky, you know, filled with all these wonderful stars, but I'm trying to guess exactly when the sun is going to come up. I was determined to make it to the top of the mountain before sunrise. So I finally just gave in and I decided I'm just going to walk by myself. As I'm walking, my pole starts to shorten. So that's not really helping me much anymore. And as I'm walking, my headlamp starts to dim and dim and dim. And I'm not walking with other people anymore. It's getting pretty dark as I'm walking. Whenever somebody else would walk by me with their bright headlamp, I realized how much easier it was to do the trail with the light. But there I was going and going. And I could feel the pain in my body. I had so much disbelief that I could make it to the top. But because I was alone for so long, I had all this time to think about what was going on and contemplate it. I realized that I still had some PTSD from when I had health issues in the past, and I felt like I didn't have control over my body. So I was concerned that literally something catastrophic might happen with my body, like my knee might give out and I would just fall over and people wouldn't even be able to carry me down. They'd probably have to helicopter me out or something. I was a bit worried. Then I remembered what it was like when I was hiking up Mount Whitney and taking other people up Mount Whitney. And I thought to myself, what was my mentality when I was doing that? I felt invincible. I felt like I could do anything. And my body was capable of pushing it however I wanted. And I decided from there, I was going to put myself in the mindset of how I felt when I was at peak performance. This is a great lesson for people to keep in mind that when you get disease, think back to before you had the disease and to a time when you felt the best. Really feel into the experience of what you felt, not just what you thought, but how you acted, what you spoke. Try to embody that in the present moment right now. I also use very powerful affirmations to help encourage me to feel like I had the power. And as I'm doing this practice, I started hiking faster and faster. Even though normally as you get higher in elevation and get more tired, you're going to go slower and slower. And I started just passing all of these people on the mountain and going faster and faster. And guess what? I made it to the top before sunrise. It was the most spectacular view, 360 degrees in every direction. If you actually pull up my blog post, I did put some photos from the hike there. So you'll get some real visuals there. It was really sweet too. At the top, I could see Mount Agung at a distance in Bali. This was well worth it. I was standing there with tears in my eyes because of the sense of accomplishment that I had and releasing all the doubt that I had, but really believing again that I could do anything. And I wasn't even trained. And I was still able to do it. And my body was excited to do it, even though it was hard, even though it wasn't physically trained. Fun things that we can play with here. Asking the body and putting ourselves in the mental state of when we were at peak performance. Here's the technique that you can use to communicate a little more with your body. This is inspired from the interview with Maureen Bell in my book, Healing Happens. That's the last chapter in the book. What you're going to do to start this is sit up nice and tall. Breathe deeply throughout your spine. Breathing in and out of your nose. Just feeling your belly expand and relax back in. Feeling the air fill your lungs and expand in all directions. And relax back in, keeping your spine long as you exhale. Close your eyes. Gaze just slightly upwards under closed eyelids. You can even imagine sunlight pouring into the crown of your head. And imagine that sunlight going into your heart. As you focus your breath into your heart, breathing deeply right into the core of your emotions. This is the connection point with your body. From there, you can ask your body a question. What is the best way for me to heal? Why am I having the challenges that I'm having? Do you have a message for me? Would you like to do this or this? How are you feeling? Whatever that question is, ask one question. Then I'm going to give you a couple minutes to sit here in silence and listen. You may or may not hear an answer right now. That is okay. because you've set the intention. And when it is time to get the answer, I believe the answer will come. Maybe in a moment you least expect it. Maybe in a moment where you're relaxed and doing something else. So you're not putting the pressure on yourself in that moment. So breathe into your heart. Ask a question. Eyes gazing slightly upwards under closed eyelids. And listen, even if all you hear is the sound of your breath. Slowly bring your awareness back to the space around you. Slowly open your eyes. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have fun with yourself and your body.
Thank you for listening to the Healing Happens podcast. To take your next step towards boundless energy, absolute happiness, and true success, visit www.healinghappensforyou.com, where you can get your copy of the book Healing Happens or sign up for interactive online courses to put the power of healing and success in your hands. Fatal pronouncements do not have to be your fate. Healing happens. The content in this podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or prescribing. Listeners should consult their physician on all health matters, especially symptoms that may require medical attention. Using this podcast's information is entirely at the listener's discretion. Healing Happens, Avital P.G. Miller, contributors and publishers of this podcast assume no responsibility for errors, inaccuracies, omissions, or inconsistencies. Any slights of people or organizations are unintentional. Healing Happens and Avital P.G. Miller do not endorse every statement, treatment, and diagnostic approach contained in interviews in this podcast.